points to cover from the last time, and hopefully we can get through them quickly to finish this part of the chapter that we're doing. We're still studying God's plan of salvation. We have been on it for about three, four weeks now, and hopefully we can finish this bit this week. Amen. But we still have another chapter of it to go with after this week, you know, because as I said last week, it's the very core of our foundation. The salvation, the plan, God's plan of salvation is the very core of our foundation as Christians. Amen. So we need to understand what our salvation is all about, so that when we are questioned about it, anyone asks us for the faith that is in us, we can earnestly contend for it. As the half brother of Jesus, Jude, he told us in his book, that's the book right before Revelation, he said, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto you. You know, so we have to be faith defenders. Amen. We have to know what we stand for, lest we fall for nothing. Let us pray as we go into the word. Kind, loving, and eternal Heavenly Father, we want to praise and glorify your name. There is none like you, mighty God. None compares to you. You are God all by yourself. You are sovereign and you are holy. You control the entire universe in your hand. And here we are as your people, mighty God. There is nothing good that we have done to deserve your glory, to deserve, mighty God, to be, hallelujah, the apple of your eye, as you called us. But it's all because of your grace and your mercies. We thank you, Lord God, that your love knows no bound, that your love searches wherever we are, mighty God, and you comfort us with a love that surpasses all understanding, enveloped in your peace, the peace that passeth all understanding, that keep our hearts and our mind in tune and focus upon you. As we come this evening, Lord, we gather around your word. We pray, mighty God, that you will dissect your word unto our spirit, that we will understand, yes, mighty God, the length and the breadth of which you have went all the way, hallelujah, to come to earth, hallelujah, to provide this perfect plan of salvation. Mighty God, I pray that you will drive it home to our hearts. I come against every distraction, everything, mighty God, that would cause our minds to stray. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and I pray, God, that you will cause there to be a glory cloud that saturates over us, that causes us, mighty God, to be rooted and grounded, always abounding in your work, mighty God, that we may see the good, hallelujah, the good that you have called us to do, and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray your blessing upon every home that is represented here on this line tonight. We come against, mighty God, every obstacle. We come against, mighty God, everything, mighty God, that would cause our attention, yes, mighty God, to lose in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, that when this evening, when this session is out and done, that we will leave knowing something more about you, mighty God, about your grace, about your mercy, about your plan of salvation, and we will go rejoicing, hallelujah, in a full and free salvation this evening. Have your way, Lord, and be thou glorified in the highest place. Amen. 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 Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me well? And if your background is quiet, you can open up your microphone, because we're going to ask some Bible questions to start our session off this evening. We're going to ask some Bible questions, and I'm going to throw it on the floor. And first answer, anyone feel You know, you don't have to be right. You don't have to be have it all out, but just to test your knowledge, you know. And it's the same questions that we're gonna ask each week, not consecutively, but maybe you'll hear these questions already some other time pass, you know, so we can gear up ourselves, we can sharpen ourselves. Iron sharpeneth iron. Amen. The first question, this question is taken from St. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 31. What woman did an angel visit in a dream to tell her that Jesus would soon be born? What woman did an angel visit in a dream to tell her that Jesus would soon be born? I hear Elizabeth. Anyone else? Anyone agree? And it's taken from St. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And the question is, what woman did an angel visit in a dream to tell her that Jesus would soon be born? I heard Mary, and I'm hearing Elizabeth. Which is it? Ooh. Which is it? Is it? Yes. According to St. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, Mary got it. Yeah, it's close between Elizabeth and Mary, because Elizabeth too had that dream. And next question, where did Mary, Joseph, and Jesus stayed until King Herod died? Where did Mary, Joseph, and Jesus stayed until King Herod died? I hear Egypt. Everyone agree? Egypt? Yes, Egypt. Yes, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, they stayed in Egypt until King Herod was died. And why they did that? Why did they have to flee from King Herod with baby Jesus? Yes. Yes, they was threatened, and he wanted to kill all the young, the babies. Yes, he wanted to kill them. Yes, so they had to flee. They had to flee into Egypt. They had to flee into Egypt. Amen. Next question. Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. What did they do to Joseph? According to Genesis 36, verse 19. Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. What did they do to Joseph? Yes, I hear, threw him in a pit. Yes, but they didn't stop at throwing him into the pit. They did something else after they threw him into the pit. Yes, so what they, all that they did was to harm Joseph, was to bring something that wasn't desirable unto Joseph, but God turned it around for good. Amen. Yes, so they were Joseph's brother were jealous of him, so they threw him into a pit, and they sold him to the merchants, and they take blood of a llama or whatever animal, and put it on his coat, the coat that he wore that had many colors, and they tell his father that a wild animal had devoured him. Amen. Yes, but that still could not stop God's plan. You see how far and how wide God would have gone to rescue, to make sure that the purpose that he has for us don't die. just like what he did to baby Jesus. Baby Jesus, the parents, Mary and Joseph, they hid Jesus in Egypt until King Herod died. And just like with Joseph, God would have it that even though the brothers would want to kill his dreams, you know, kill his dreams, but God would make a way that even through it, he was able to stand firm. You know, and there's something significant about that, that Joseph, you know, as we're on it, Joseph. You know, Joseph, it was his dreams. It was his dreams that sent him into the pit, you know, that his brother didn't eat, that his brother ate him for, the dreams that he had and stuff. And it sent, and it caused them to throw him into a pit and all that befalls him. And he was sold as a slave into Egypt, and he was there, and he became the head slave and lived in Potiphar's house. And the dreams, is his dreams that caused him, his destinated dreams that caused him to suffer all of that fate that he went through. And you realize when he was in prison for 2 years, you know, after Potiphar's wife told a lie on him, and he was in prison for 2 years, and there was some servants from the king's place that came there, the butler, I think, and another one. Yes. Yes, they came to the prison there, and they had a dream. They had a dream in the night, and they asked, they were worried about the dream, and they asked Joseph. Joseph say, they find out that Joseph was an interpreter of dreams. And they went to Joseph to interpret the dream for them. You know, and you know that Joseph did it, interpreted the dream. Many of us in that situation will say, no, we're not going to bother with any dreams again, because it's the same dream put me in prison here. So the dream thing not working out for me. So I'm not going to say anything about any dream. You know, but Joseph was so humbled. He interpreted a dream to them just the same. And whatever he interpreted, it came to pass. You know, so I just want to find out that with Joseph. So no matter what, no matter what you and I are going through, just keep holding on by faith. You know, as long as you know that is the will of Almighty God, just keep holding on by faith. No matter what comes, no matter what comes your way, still hold on. You know, it's his dream that sent him into prison, and yet he's still going to prison and start and interpret dreams just the same. You know. All right, next question. What happened on earth at the moment that Jesus died on the cross? And that's according to St. Luke chapter 23. What happened on earth the moment that Jesus died on the cross? The earth shook, that's an earthquake, and there was darkness. Yes, yes, that's the important, that's a very important point. The veil of the temple was torn at that very moment. Darkness was up on the entire earth. The entire world was in darkness, and the veil in the temple torn. And that's very significant to us as believers, a part of the plan of salvation that is offered to us. We know, because of that veil that was torn in the temple, we can now go beyond that veil by ourselves. It's no more no priest going around there for us with blood sacrifice. The sacrifice that Jesus did was a once and for all sacrifice. The blood sacrifice, his blood was shed for you and I. And it's a one and once in a one time sacrifice. And so we have free access to the throne room of Almighty God. Yeah, we can go behind the veil by ourselves. You know, we can go behind the veil by ourselves. We don't have to wait once a year for the priest to go there and the priest have to make atonement for himself, have to make sacrifice for himself before he can go beyond the veil. You know? So because of the gospel, that's the birth, the crucifixion and the resurrection, because of that gospel message, we can go behind the veil by ourselves with the blood, represented by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, so that's so significant. So the moment that Jesus died, there was an earthquake, darkness over the whole world, and the veil in the temple was torn. Next question. Who denied knowing Jesus three times before the rooster crows twice? Amen. Yes, Peter. Peter, he denied Christ. It's so significant, though, you know. Peter was so instrumental, and he was so used by Jesus in such a marked way. You know, he was the one that make a bold confession when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, some say that you're Abraham, some say that you're Elijah, some say, you know, and Jesus turned to him and said, and turned to his disciples and said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter stood up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He makes such a bold confession. He knows that he is the Christ. He has walked with Christ. He was the very one who had so much faith that he ventured out of the boat and walked on water. Yes, and the same, that's Peter. And then Peter, Jesus asked him, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" You know, and he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Three times he said, "Yes, you know I love you, I love you, I love you." You know, and Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." He said, "Upon this rock, you know, the rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church," this ecclesia, the church, the called out. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Peter, when you read the book of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, it has such strong argument in it, because he said that Jesus even said to him that when you are converted, you know, encourage others and stuff. You know, so even though Peter, in the midst of his testing, when he was tested and stuff, the very night, the very time when Jesus was being crucified and stuff, even in his weakness there, then and there, and he healed to the temptation, and he did deny Christ three times. He did that, right? It's said in scriptures that he denied Christ and stuff. But apart from all that, Christ still had mercy on him, because the perfect plan of salvation reaches out to him as well. And he was redeemed. You know, he was redeemed, and the firm foundation. He started the church when Peter preached. Thousands, 3,000 people added on to the church in the early church and stuff. The message was so powerful. When you hear Peter, when you look at Peter's resume and see all that Peter has gone through in scriptures and stuff, you see that's a man. That's a man who had feel he had feel the love of God, Jesus Christ himself. He had walked with Jesus. And not only that, but Peter has felt the redemption power of the Almighty God. God redeemed him from his situation. He wasn't always perfect, just like us. We are not always perfect. Sometimes we do fall short of the glory of God. You know, sometimes we fall into sin. Amen. But there is still room at the cross for us. There is still room for us. So despite what we are going through, we may fall. We may fall in our journey to glory. We may fall many times. But the important thing is that we get back up, dust it off and carry on. God is able. He's a forgiving God. You know, and he wait long enough for you and I to come to that place where he rescues us. Amen. He always have a plan to get us back to him. If any at all, you're a child of God, no matter how you fall, you have a quickening in your spirit that leads you back to the cross. You know, your spirit will be so alive in you that lead you back to Calvary. You will not feel comfortable outside of Christ, if any at all, you are a child of God. But mind you, if you are a one that continues to do wrong, or continues to miss the mark, continue to sin, and there is no conviction upon you, you need to really check yourself if you are really destined for heaven, if you are really destined, if you are really a child of the King, or you are a child of Baal. You know, if you continue every day just to do the wrong things, just to miss up, and you know, you still feel comfortable sleeping, you still feel comfortable waking up, you still feel comfortable eating and going up and down. You know, and there's no conviction. You need to really check yourself if you're really a part of the called out of Almighty God. Amen. All right. Next question. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like the smallest seed. What kind of seed is it? From Mark chapter 4. The kingdom of God is like the smallest seed. What kind of seed is it? Yes, I hear a mustard seed, and that's correct. Mustard seed is a very small seed, and it produces a large, a big, 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 massive tree. Amen? What did Jesus walk on that frightened his disciples in a storm? Yes, water. He walked on water. You know, defy the very dictates of you know, gravity. Yeah, he walked on water. And that was the same time that he called Peter, said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come. Bid me to come to you. And he said, come. Yeah, he said, come. And Peter stepped out by faith in that boat and walked on water. Amen. What do we call the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples? Yes, the Lord's Prayer. Everyone get that right. The Lord's Prayer. All right. Next one. Where did Jesus go to pray after the Last Supper? Yes, yes. Everyone get that right. Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane. Yeah. Yes, he went there to pray. And Did he go to that garden by himself? Who was with him? Did he went to the garden by himself? Peter, James, and John. Amen. And did all of them pray with Jesus? Yes, they fell asleep. Yes, and Jesus even go to them and say, can you just watch with me for one minute? Why are your eyes so heavy? Just watch with me. The hour is at hand. They're coming to get me. They're coming to crucify me. And you can't just pray with me. And he prayed in that garden until his sweat becomes like drop of blood. Yeah, and he prayed Lord, if it is your will, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. Take this cup away from me. It wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy 1, 2, 3. He was 100% man. Jesus was 100% man. And he was 100% God. And he said, Lord, he said, God, my Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. Because when the burden of our sins, your sin and my sin, came down on him, it was like he was trapped in a corner and he was crying out to God, my Father. He felt it. That is very, he prayed until his sweat becomes like drop of blood. That's how intense was his prayer. When our sin was placed upon him, the sinless lamb, you know, when he realized that he had to go to feel such excruciating pain on Calvary for nothing that he has done, but for what we have done, our past sin, our present sin, and our future sin. We weren't even born as yet, you know, but yet he was crucified, dead and buried, rose again to give us that perfect gift of salvation. It's not something for us to take lightly or continue to reject his perfect plan of salvation, because he purchased it with his own blood. It was a blood plan of salvation that was offered there and Calvary. You know, that even the very core, his very core disciples, Peter, James, and John, they couldn't even bear him up in prayer. They fell asleep at the moment of reckoning, at the moment where they should they should stand. Yes, they should stay stand. No wonder why Peter, a couple of hours after that, denied Christ. If he had stayed up and prayed, maybe he'd have been strengthened at the time of temptation, and you know, maybe you'd have remembered the word of Almighty God that Jesus said before the cock crows, "You're going to deny me thrice," you know, and he did it once, twice, thrice, and he didn't even remember until the third time when a rooster to crow. He was separated at that moment. You know, how many know that when you don't pray, it widens the gap between you and God? Yeah, prayer brings you close to the heart of Almighty God, you know. Yes, and you see that in Peter. Peter was so far away at that moment that he even went and denied Christ, not once, not twice, but 3 times. You know? Yeah. Yeah. If after 1 time, your spirit within you, your conscience then, would just quickly answer, no, I can't do this. You know? But he went all the way to 3 times and denied Christ and stuff. And the night before, he was in a massive prayer meeting. And he fell asleep in that prayer meeting. You know, when he should have a prayer meeting with Christ himself. And he fell asleep. And he gets so weak. That is why you see a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Yes, a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. You have no resistance or no resilience over the adversary, over the devil. If you're not a praying person, you cannot resist. You cannot resist the testings that comes your way. You know? Yes, so in order for you to stay strong, you have to be a prayerful Christian. You know, the word of God reminds us that there is no temptation that has taken us but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will never suffer you and I to be tempted above which we are able, and he will with the temptation also make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. You know, so so we have to remain close to the throne of Almighty God, so that when times of testing come, and it will come, testing and temptation, They come ever so often, every day, testing and temptation. You know, but the word of God tells us that we must not yield to temptation, because it's the healing that is sin, you know. When you yield to the temptation, that's where you sin. But temptation is a must. It will come. It will come. Amen. All right, next question. What was the secret of Samson's strength? Sorry. What was the secret of his strength? Samson's strength? Yes. Yes, the hair. His long hair had never been cut. That's his strength. The long hair. He took the Nazarite vow. Yeah, his locks shouldn't be cut. That was Samson's strength. Next question. How many days and nights was Jonah inside the big fish belly? I hear 7. I hear 3. Yes, the answer is 3. 3 nights and 3 days. 3 days and 3 nights, whatever. 3 nights, 3 days. He was inside that fish belly. And anyone? Yes, anyone can remind me. Or anyone can tell us then, why was he in that whale's belly? What was before? What came before that? We're in Bible study, and we're here to sharpen each other. We're here to learn from each other. What came before he was swallowed up by the whale? Amen. Amen. Yes. So one key important point there, it was a result of disobedience. Yeah. He was disobedient. He didn't want to test. He didn't want to prophesy against Nineveh. And he didn't want to prophesy against the city of Nineveh. And can somebody tell me why Jonah didn't want to prophesy against the city of Nineveh? Yes, they were evil. And another point, Sister Terry, why he didn't want to prophesy against Nineveh. He said that if he tell Nineveh that they would be doomed in the days that God had told him that he would devour Nineveh or whatever, and the people of Nineveh begin to pray. He said that if the people of Nineveh begin to pray and go down in sackcloth and ashes, then God is going to relent. God not going to punish them again. And he said that he don't like that idea that God is so merciful. He want to know that if he prophesy that Nineveh is going to be destroyed, he want to know that it is destroyed. He don't want to know that. Yes. 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 He didn't want them to be saved. Yes. Yes. Yes, that's the way it is. He didn't want them to receive the mercies of Almighty God. He didn't want the gospel message. He think the salvation was only for the Jews, not the Gentiles, not for us. And he got the prophecy, and he didn't want to prophesy, because he said, if they go down in sackcloth, if they begin to pray, God is going to show mercy on them. And he didn't want that to happen. So he ran away. He didn't want to prophesy. Yeah. Yes, he would prefer to lose his life. To how selfish he was. He would prefer to lose his life. Salvation. Yeah, he'd prefer to lose his life right there and then. Because when he went into a ship, and where was Jonah running away to? From Nineveh to where? Tarshish. He was running away to Tarshish. Yeah, he was running away to Tarshish. And then he was, he have to go by boat. Or he went by boat. I don't know if he had to go by boat. But he went by boat and there was a mighty storm and at sea. And they start to shed the weight of the boat to let it stay afloat. Because they say it's too heavy and too much the amount of water coming in. It's going to sink that ship. They're going to sink the boat. So they start to show the cargoes and everything off it. But no matter how much things they show off it, it still seems like it's going to sink. Yeah, God at work. You know, the ship now, the boat now should be more stabilized because most of the cargo show off it. But it was still rocking and shaking, you know, wanting to turn over. And it was when Jonah said that, man, his conscience, you realize, his spirit became alive now. His conscience tell him that it must be him. Yeah, it must be him. It must be him that is causing this thing to happen and whatever. And he uses now his discretion and his conscience and the spirit of God that is within him. And say, okay, all of these don't have to perish. All of these lives, these souls don't have to be perished. Because of my one mistake. Just throw me overboard. Yeah, he said, just throw me overboard. And so that all these lives can survive. You know, and so it goes like a good soldier. They throw Jonah overboard. And immediately when they throw him overboard, what happened? Yes. Yeah, the fish was there. And before the fish was there, what happened? When they throw him overboard? The storm subside. There was the storm stop. Yes, the storm stop and even the sailors that were on the boat there, they even look and say, man, that man Jonah must be a very wicked man. For this to happen, he must have done something so wrong so that God is so mad at him to send such a storm on them. You know, because they didn't know at that point that this fish swallowed Jonah, you know. They said maybe he had meat is dismissed. He has dead or drowned or something. But they say within themselves say that Jonah is a very wicked man. For God to deal with him in such a way. But there again, we see the mercy of God extended. We see God's plan of salvation extended to Jonah. You know, despite of his failures and he running away from God, God still showed him such mercy. That's the God that we serve today. The God that loves beyond measures. You know, the God that loves even when we go astray and messed up. He loved us to receive us back. There was 99 that was safe. In this shepherd's arms, and one went astray, and he went for that one sinner. Yes, and he brought him back to the fold. That's the love that is shed abroad in our heart, the love of Jesus Christ that knows no bound. You know, the love of God that constrains us, it keeps us rooted. No wonder why, you see, when we think about the goodness, just Just thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for us. There is something within our being that give us that give us such peace and such, sometimes it melts us that the tears just keep running down and we say we are so undeserving of his mercy. We are so undeserving. Yes. Amen. You know? Yes, we are so undeserving of it, but God, in his mercy, he redeemed us. And, you know, and there, no matter how far away you think you are sailed from shore, God is able to pull you back. And, yes, and his calculation is different from us. We may be marred. We may be marred in sin. For many years we have been going astray. And all it takes is a one repentance. And right away you are redeemed. Yeah, not because you have been going astray for 10 years. It's going to take 10 years for you to come back to shore. You have been drifting for 10 years. All it takes is one surrender. One, Lord, I surrender to your Lordship. I give my life to you. Just one. Just a moment. Just a moment. It doesn't take the length of time. If it was so that it took the length of time that you transgress for you to come back, you know, it would have been almost impossible, like the camel going through the eye of a needle. You know, but because all it takes is a repentance, one time, you know, immediately you are now redeemed back to the fold. Immediately you are now redeemed back to the fold. How great and mighty our God is. Amen. 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 All right. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 4 in the next 15 minutes that we have. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 4. Anyone there can read for us? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. And after that, we're going to look at Hebrews 7, verse 25. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Amen. Amen. Question for you. What three facts about Christ did Paul teach at that gospel that we just read? Paul is the one who wrote Corinthians. What three facts? Number one, what Christ did? Died for our sins. Number two, he was buried. Number three, what happened the third day? He rose again the third day. So the three facts about Christ that Paul teaches in this these two verses that we see there. Christ died for our sins. That's the gospel right there. That's the gospel message. He died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. That's the gospel message. Yes. And that's the core foundation of our faith, the gospel message. Yes, that's the core foundation, the gospel message. He died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. Amen. Yes. And Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25. Anyone there? Hebrews 7 verse 25. Yes. Go ahead, sis. Amen. Amen. Always live to intercede. All right. So seeing that Christ, question for you. Seeing that Christ is now alive forevermore, what is he able to do for those who come to him? Yes, he intercede. And before that, he's able to. Yes, he's able to save them to the uttermost that comes to him. Save. So no matter what condition you come in, he's able to save. To save, to restore you unto himself. Amen. He's able to save. And we're going to look too at St. Luke chapter 24 verse 47 and Acts chapter 4 verse 12. St. Luke chapter 24 verse 47 and Acts chapter 4 verse 12. Verse 47. Amen. Mark that word, repentance. Mark that word. And then look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts 4, verse 12. Amen. So we see three things that is from those two scriptures that we just read. We're seeing it three things that is offered to all men. In the name of Jesus, repentance, remission of sin, and salvation. That there is no, it's only in him that we have salvation. There is no other name given unto man by which we can be saved, but by the name of Jesus. And scriptures also tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. And every tongue must confess that he is Lord. You know, every knee, he never says some are the Jew or the Gentile. Every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. So as we complete this section of it, we see in it that forgiveness. We have to seek forgiveness. Because unforgiven sin is a great barrier between God and man. Unforgiven sin is a great barrier between God and man. And we can see it. If we look at Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 quickly. I'm just going to read it. Isaiah 59 verse 2. It said, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sin have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you." Yes, so if you and I want God to hear our prayer, we have to separate ourselves from sin, because he says in his word that is our sin that is separating him from us. You know, so there is room at the cross. There is room at the cross. And as we look at that, we realize that the price has already been paid. Salvation has already bought with the precious blood of Jesus. So if there's anything that is left to do, is we need to come boldly to the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy and find favor in times of great need. Find grace in times of great need. You know, so is salvation now is not on God's part, but is on man's part. It's for us to receive the free gift of salvation. So any barrier that is now remains, that now remains, is on man's side, not on God's side. The price already been paid, the perfect salvation. You know, God's perfect salvation is already there. We just have to accept it by faith. You know, faith is built on facts, the gospel. Amen. So just by faith, we just have to accept his perfect gift of salvation. Any questions before we close? Anything to share? Any feedback? Any questions before we close? Any feedback? Good night, Sister Terry. Amen, 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 sister. Yes, appreciate you coming on, Sister Terry. Appreciate everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we trust that God indeed showed up and meet you at the point of your very need, and the blessing of God that will consume you throughout this holiday season, and grace and peace be multiplied unto you this holidays as we celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let us pray before we go. Anybody else? We're good. Amen, amen, amen. Let us pray. Kind, loving Heavenly Father, we just love you. We love you, mighty God, because you first loved us and you show us what love is by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you, God, that even when we were not thinking about you, that you were thinking about us. You knew us, mighty God. Hallelujah. You are mighty and you are exalted. You who makes the heaven shines. Yes, mighty God, you see us at the apple of your eyes. Hallelujah. You consume us with fire, the fire of the Holy Ghost that transforms our entire being. We thank you, mighty God, that we are not our own, but we belong to you, Jesus. We thank you that we were bought with a price. And we can glorify you, mighty God, because we know that our Redeemer lives. We know that you're alive and you are well. We have seen you moving mountains for us, mighty God. We are seeing you parting the seas. We are seeing you lighting up shadows in our path. We are seeing you delivering us when we are sick. Yes, mighty God, we are seeing you providing for us when we need you most. Yes, Lord, we have seen you pacified some situation. For us, mighty God, you come through at a time when we least expect it. Lord God, we thank you that you love us so much, Lord, to secure us, mighty God, from the darts of the enemy, to protect us, mighty God, from every dart that would come into us, mighty God. We thank you, mighty God, that the blood is sufficient. It reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives us strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. We thank you, mighty God. We thank you, Jesus, for your love. We thank you, mighty God, that it knows no bound. We thank you, Lord, that when we call on the name of Jesus, nothing can stand against us, mighty God. We thank you, Jesus, for your perfect plan of salvation is full and is free, is perfectly paid for with your ransom blood. And this evening, mighty God, we are rejoicing in a full and free salvation, knowing, mighty God, that Jesus paid it all the way to Calvary. You went for us and you set us free throughout all eternity. eternity. We love on you this evening, mighty God. We could not have done it by ourselves. We thank you, mighty God, that you intertwine your life in our spirit so that we can stand rejoicing, mighty God, knowing, Lord, that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you have gone to prepare a place for us, and you'll come again, Lord, and receive us unto yourself, that where you are, we will be also. You mentioned that in your Father's house there are many mansions, and if it was not so, you wouldn't have said it, Lord. We thank you, mighty God, for your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. Yes, mighty God, that piercing even to the dividing us, a soul and spirit and joints and marrow, is a discerner of our thought and the very intent of our heart. We thank you, mighty God, that your word we have hid in our heart, that we will not sin against you, mighty God, so that it will quicken us when we come upon temptation, Lord. Yes, mighty God, that you will build a blood wall round about us. Lord, we have been going through some terrible times. Lord, mighty God, we have been going through some times that, Lord, when we look back on it, we recognize, oh God, that if it hasn't been for you on our side, then where would we be? I pray, God, that this evening, mighty God, will be an evening like none before, that, Lord God, you will extend to us your arms of mercy, mighty God, your arms of grace. Yes, mighty God, that you will cut and clear our pathway for us. We cannot even see further than our big toe, mighty God. Yes, mighty God, all around us may be gloominess and darkness, but we thank you, Lord God, that you have created a path for us in the presence of our enemies. Lord God, is amazing. Oh, you said that in your word, that you present a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. Oh God, that many a times we would pray that you will remove our enemies for us. But we thank you, Lord, that in your wisdom, you keep our enemies so close that they can see the table that you have spread for us, mighty God. Hallelujah. We thank you, mighty God, that even in times like those, mighty God, yes, Lord God, that our enemies will see you furnish us, mighty God. Yes, mighty God, and the enemy, he will flee from us because he knows, Lord, that we are the apple of your eye, and he knows, Lord, that we are bought with a price, and cause us, therefore, Lord God, to live in the liberty, in the freedom where which you have set us free, knowing, mighty God, that we are not our own, but we belong to a holy God. Lord God, we pray that throughout this holiday season, that your hand will be on each and every one of us, mighty God. You will cover our homes, our doorposts. Yes, mighty God, when we look at Exodus 12, yes, Lord, and verse 13, he said that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I pray, mighty God, that the blood of Jesus will stain our doorposts and every house that is represented here tonight, mighty God, that you will cause our store basket never to be emptied, that you will fill our cup to the overflowing, a pressed down, shaken together, running over, anointing over these few days that live in this 2024, mighty God. I pray, God, that you will anoint our head with oil. Yes, mighty God, that you will keep us safe from all harm and all danger in the name of Jesus. Be our fore God, our rear God, our side God, all around us, mighty God. I pray that your spirit will go with us, Lord, wherever we go, mighty God. It will be an atmosphere that is changed because your spirit, yes, mighty God, have initiated that change in the name of Jesus. Tabernacle with us in a real way, mighty God, as we tell you thanks and as we give you praise. I thank you, mighty God, for those that are on vacation at this time that couldn't have come. Lord God, we know that their heart is here, mighty God. We pray, Spirit of the living God, yes, mighty God, that you will surround them with your Shekinah glory, your presence. Yes, mighty God, I pray for those that are on the job that couldn't get to come tonight. Yes, mighty God, that you will bless, you will guide, and you will protect. You will saturate the atmosphere and you'll fight their battles for them. Have your way, mighty God, and be thou glorified in the highest place, as I tell you thanks In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Greet somebody in the name of Jesus as you go this evening. And remember to pray one for the other. Live a prayerful night. Good night, good night, good night. Merry Christmas to you. Amen, amen. Good night, night. Amen. Yes. Bless the Lord. Amen. 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 All right. Yes, yes, yes. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen.